We turn to God's Word as found in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, familiar words to us, no doubt, because they're often expressed during the Advent season. And we're going to read this text and examine it in light of a brand new year. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Thus far, the reading of God's word to us this morning, may he add his blessing to the reading and to the proclamation of it. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today marks the dawn of a new year. But what is most critical to us are not the goals we have for 2023, those New Year's resolutions which we make and then break in a matter of days, if not hours. But what is most critical to us are the covenantal promises of old that have been fulfilled. That's what we hold on to as we pass one year and move on to the next. You see, beloved, we are all part of a peaceful, blessed, covenantal community. And as we observe many times over the Advent season, for us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. These wonderful names, right? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But then in verse 7, we read about the extent of peace, of the increase of his government, and of peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Beloved, the dominion of this prince is in the realm of his perfect peace, a peace that will never end. How often do we go to this text around the Advent season or the close of the year, and we read verses from Isaiah and from Luke 2 to get a sense of that covenant fulfillment, of that peace that we can all enjoy? It is that peace, that very peace, that allows us to look at the new year with hope and with excitement. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. Did you catch that all-important prepositional phrase? Peace, here comes the phrase, among those with whom He is pleased. Let us then look at this covenant fulfillment of peace this morning from the perspective of need and experience for this new year. First, we look at the people of God need this fulfillment. And then second, we're going to explore the Son of God makes known that peace to His people. Hence, we really experience and enjoy this peace even today. Friends, the Advent season and the New Year celebration are not some collective holiday of multiplication, as some would have it, adding up all their sentiment and gifting, and then comes January 2 and it's all over, and now we have to go back to our workplaces and think about the drudgery of sojourning in this new year. But understand something. This season has always been about division, not multiplication, not addition, but really division. When Christ was born, all that was prophesied became reality. And the Prince of Peace would be realized in the dividing of those whom the Father has called His own and those whom the Father would reject. It has been and continues to be a glorious season for those in Christ. So in that respect, yes, lots of wonderful things have been added, right? Because of that fulfillment. But here comes the dividing. Not for those outside of the true covenant community. Beloved, the people of God need this fulfillment of covenant that ushers peace beyond all understanding. The peace that Isaiah prophesied in our text, a peace that can and should be celebrated this time of the year and every day, should be everyday reason to celebrate. It is this one true peace that trumps all wars and rumors of wars and puts all things in perspective, whether it's the drug war, virus war, cancer war, abortion war, same-sex war, or the war on terror and crime. It is this one true peace that can only envelop discord and disunity in the home, in the family, and in the church. It is also the peace that brought light to the darkness and calm to the anguish of Isaiah's day. Now, Isaiah, as we all know here, was a major prophet for the Old Covenant Church who ministered to the people of God between 740 and 701 B.C. He saw Judah's kings rise and fall in their ongoing battles with Assyrian imperialism. In Isaiah 40, we find a song of salvation, not just about the physical return of the exiles, but also about the great liberation which comes at the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah predicts Israel's own tragic exile in 722, but that God would preserve the faithful remnant. And you are that faithful remnant today. Isaiah's primary mission was to announce what would properly become of Judah. In chapter 6, his commission is specified as that mouthpiece that would deliver the grim news of cities wasted, houses vacated, a land desolated, and a people removed, a house divided. That is what Israel became. And within that division, Israel was scattered further and Judah's time would come and there would be no peace. As the Assyrian invaders approach, so does the darkness. But, this is a beautiful conjunction right here, but it will not completely annihilate Judah. Because a child would be born at least 600 plus years after the fall of Judah. And that child would be the only living and true Prince of Peace. He would be the Son of God. The good news then and in the past year, 2022, and now 2023, is that He is our Prince, our King. The people of Judah needed to hear this message, and they desperately needed peace. Just as the people of God do in this brand new year. We need to hear about this peace. And so what is this true peace that we all need? It is the peace we have in the Prince and not in ourselves. How often do we hear that to be truly content in this life, we just have to make peace with ourselves? Oh, just make peace with yourself. Really? Beloved, how can you make peace in the out-of-control war that wages in each one of us? Paul says in Romans 7:19, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Left to ourselves, there is nothing. There is absolutely nothing but war within. For sin begets sin, and misery begets misery. And the need for that peace comes from God and through His Son. And you need that peace because of these words. Already way back in the first book of our holy canon, Genesis 3, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing, and pain you shall bring forth children, and cursed is the ground because of you, and pain you shall eat of all the days of your life, thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." That's pretty grim. You need that peace that comes from God and made real in Christ. And that peace is foremost a reconciliation with the Father. Peace with God. We are beginning our new year on that note of reconciliation. We have peace with the Almighty God. Brothers and sisters, can it be any better than that? Not just that. The removal of the curse of the law, the bondage of sin, and that last enemy that is destroyed, death, says 1 Corinthians 15:26. It sounds a little funny, doesn't it, to say that death died? But it did. Death died. When the Prince of Peace was born, crucified, was again ascended, and occupied the throne of the King. Now we still, if the Lord no longer tarries, but if He does continue to tarry, we will see death, a physical death, as a consequence of our sin. But we don't get the curse with the death. That's not the end of the story for us. We don't get the condemnation. We don't get the gnashing of teeth and the hellfire. We get eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, death died, and that is peace. Reconciliation with the Father resulted, and that is peace with God, the ultimate peace, the great peace that we have. The tyranny of the sin was broken. That is peace too, brothers and sisters. Now the world has heard these words of Isaiah, as we noted earlier in our Advent seasons, all sorts of carols and melodies around this time, whether it be the shopping malls or at home. And the erroneous thinking is that Christ came to usher a peace that can be enjoyed by all as long as you choose the Prince. You make that first decision. You choose the Prince and you can enjoy the peace. But the problem with that thinking is that it is all up to you, but that you would never choose the prince if it was all up to you, unless the Father had opened your eyes, your ears, your hearts, and your minds, and has given you the peace. Because you won't recognize him if you hate him. And you will hate him unless you have been changed. Again, Luke 2:14 says, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So here's the extraordinary part, the amazing grace. How can he be pleased with me? I deserve eternal condemnation. And yet, in God's will, he is pleased with you in Christ, only because of Christ. The peace is that you are chosen, not that you do the choosing. Let's get that right. That you are chosen. The Lord says in John 10:29, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Friends, no matter how grim 2023 might be for us, you cannot be snatched out of the Father's hand. Now that's peace. You are securely in his grip, no matter how tough it gets for you or for your family or at the job place. You are in his grip. You who confess the Father, you who confess the Son. And that's peace. The other issue that often comes with carols is the romanticizing of that peace as a global affair that is to all men. The same prince warns in Luke 12:51, do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Here's the tragic irony for the one outside of Christ. That baby in a manger becomes king. And as king, he judges. He divides. And those outside have no peace with God. Matthew 10:34. Do not think that I've come to bring peace on the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. A sword. You see, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But it is a peace that will pass by the unbeliever. And the unbeliever is left to his or her sin. He is left to the war that wages internally because he has or she has no peace with God. Paul tells us in Romans 7:23, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. The unbeliever will never get out of his or her skin, leaving him or her in personal unrest and wide open to social unrest through his own or her own injustice, dishonesty, self-seeking, a love of power, or a lack of love. The unbeliever then creates enmity with his or her neighbor, creating unrest for society and for nation because he or she has no peace with God. For to us, a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is no hallmark greeting, brothers and sisters. This is a profound declaration of peace. And we have a great need for the peace that the Prince offers, because ultimately, without Christ, we have no peace with God. Absolutely no peace with God. If we do not recognize ourselves as egregious sinners in desperate need of the Savior in order to have peace with God, we then live for the works of the flesh. And what are those works? What are those works? Galatians 5 lists them. sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And Paul says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You practice those things. You fail to see your need for peace. Now we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God, of course. But you fail to understand peace when you habitually practice that which grieves the Spirit. And most tragically, you fail to recognize the Prince of Peace, the ultimate authority, which is not you, by the way. And so we come now to our second and concluding point. The Son of God makes known His covenant fulfillment to His people. That peace. Peace with God is made known by the One who comes. The Prince comes into the world condescending to be born, to take on human form, and to go to the cross. For to us a child is born, and He is the Prince of Peace, sent by God to come into the world, that peace would come to the people. Isaiah says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Light has shined on us, beloved. Us right here. The imagery of darkness shows the lack of peace, a separation from God, and enveloping evil. But then in verse 6, we see how this lightness comes. A child is born, the Prince of Princes has come, and Isaiah prophesies not just His coming, but also announces something peaceful in verse 7. Of the increase of His government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Beloved, those words are meaningless unless the coming Prince is also the conquering Prince. And so the Prince conquers. He conquers the grip of evil, the curse of the law, the certainty of death, and above all, that separation between man and God. And that's what we can celebrate in this new year. That separation between us and our holy God is not there anymore. And we have seen this illustration before with Moses bringing the old covenant church over the Red Sea and later Joshua over the River Jordan. But those chasms were nothing compared to the chasm of our great sin, which our Lord Jesus Christ brought us over to the presence of the Father, who is here today. Our Lord God is with us. The war has been won by our Lord Jesus Christ, and all that is left for the devil and his minions are the skirmishes here and there. But nothing can be taken away from the victory of our Lord. As it is written in Revelation 17:14, they will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with Him are called and chosen and faithful. You are the called. You are the called. You are the chosen. You are the faithful. You are the ones at peace, because the Prince of Peace of Isaiah's prophecy is the King of Kings today. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6:2. Dear friend, as I often ask, if there is a gift under the Christmas tree this past season that is greater than the peace we have in Jesus Christ, the peace that brought us together with God, I want to see that gift. I want to have that gift. If there's a gift greater than he, wow. But there is none. Nothing is greater than our Lord Jesus Christ, who brought us a peace that we have together, a peace we have together with God. The conquering prince has established a kingdom forever, forever. No passage of time can disrupt the kingdom. Of peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. In the Reformed faith, we bandy around the already and not yet distinction when it comes down to Christ's kingdom. His kingdom is here already. It is the kingdom, what we call the church. And it's also not yet. It hasn't been fully consummated. That is to say, the kingdom in its exalted state has not yet come. But make no mistake about the conquering prince. That's already been done. He's already conquered. And when the king returns, he will call his citizens from all the corners of the world, and they shall join those who have gone before into that glorious eternal kingdom. The coming of the prince and the conquering of the prince provide the comfort for the citizens of this, on this side of God's kingdom today. That's our assurance. That's our peace. That's our comfort. And too often we sometimes reduce this peace or think that peace is only that which is futuristic. To be sure, a more glorious peace is coming. But there is true peace today. And that is the great comfort to the people of God. Beloved, the prince comforts. Isaiah in chapter 61 speaks more of this comfort. Listen to these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. What crazy imagery, right? An oak of righteousness. What do you want to be when you grow up? Looking at some of our young people. I want to be an oak of righteousness. What a great thing to aspire to. And you can, because of the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. In the day and age of our Lord's crucifixion, the world was a wicked place. It was in upheaval. And roughly 2,000 years later, the world is in no better place. We have just gotten slicker in our sinning and in our evil with our technology. But we citizens of the kingdom of God can rest even in the face of war and rumors of war because we have the comfort, the peace, the Prince of Peace brings to us. Our Lord Jesus Christ declares in John 14:1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. You gotta hold on to that. We need to hold on to that text because it's gonna be a rocky ride in 2023. But even in that rocky ride, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And then later he says in verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Because of the peace given to us. The peace the world offers culminates in accords and pacts and treaties, things that pass and do not last. This is not the peace made known by God. After the week of Christmas, and all the festivities and holiday cheer put aside for the moment. What do you think is the number one question has heard. I don't know how they come up with this in these surveys, but the number one question after all the holiday spirit has left and we are back to our workplaces, the question is, do you still have your tree up? What? Yeah, do you still have your Christmas tree up? That's the question. That's really the important question of 2023. Do you still have your Christmas tree up? How about this question? Do you know this piece? Do you know your need in 2023? Do you believe in Him who alone can answer your need, the one who came, the one who conquers and has conquered, the one who comforts? If you don't have this peace that surpasses all understanding, then Isaiah's words are meaningless to you. And you might as well ask the question, hey, is your Christmas tree still up? But if you go to Him with sincere repentance on your lips and a heart desiring the things of God, prepare to serve the one who sits on David's throne. And these words are a balm for your soul. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen.